Good evening, everyone. We are together for another Basecamp Campfire Conversation. And so it's John Hard and Sam Williamson and myself, Gary Barkalow. So, and I realize when I'm that formal saying our first and last name, I'm saying that for anyone who may listen that don't know us, because we do this every week. But so let me tell you what we want to do, this campfire conversation. And it's something I emailed you about, so you should have a little heads up on this. But let me give you a little background to this. So I really would like to spend some of this month, December and January, just as a reset, almost a reboot time to relook at my life and things that are going on. And, you know, as one man said, you look at your life and you put things into categories of add, subtract, or change. And I want to look at my life and think, are there things I need to subtract or are things I should add or that have been added that maybe shouldn't have, or are there just changes that need to be made? And so as I was, you know, praying about this and journaling and just thinking, not in a really intense way, but just I want to do this just do this over time. And I started thinking about the different things that were in my life at this point. Of course, Noble Heart, but being an elder in my church, one of the teaching elders there, and over men's ministry, and then my position as a board member of Zoe Ministries in North Carolina, and being on their speaking team. And as I was thinking about these, and I was thinking, gosh, are any of these a distraction? Are all these things that, you know, God definitely wants me to do, or what do I do with this? I've not had these many things kind of at one time. And, you know, one of the things that came back to my memory was this quote by Oswald Chambers. And I knew it roughly, and I didn't even know where I'd gotten it from. It was Sam that informed me that it's actually in the preface of my book, which I had completely forgotten about. But it was the verse that we had sent you, or the quote that we had sent you. So let me read this to you. And in many ways, in my preliminary time with God over the next 2 months, I felt like he was bringing me back to this. So let me read the quote, say a little bit more, and then John and Sam, you guys jump in as we start into this. So the quote is this. I'm going to give you the short version. John or Sam may want to bring in a little bit more around this, but let me just give you the crux of this. So Oswald Chambers said, "So continually in the one great truth of which you have had a vision, take it to bed with you, sleep with it, rise up in the morning with it, continually bring it into your imagination or bring your imagination into captivity to it. And slowly and surely, as the months and years go by, God will make you one of his specialists in that particular truth." And so that came back to me, and one of the things I sensed God was saying to me, like I said, in this early stage of, you know, wanting to do a reset in my life was, you know, that God had made me a specialist in this idea of calling, purpose, how to live a fruitful life, our place in the kingdom. And my sense was God was saying, I want you to hold on to this specialty, this particular truth that you have fascination for, which I've given you a fascination for. And I want you to be a specialist so that I can send you wherever I want you to go to bring that. And, you know, so perhaps he's sending me as a specialist into the church as an elder pastor, as a board member and speaker into another ministry with the Noble Heart. And so anyway, I'm very intrigued by this. And I believe with all my heart, it's not just for me. It's for Oswald Chambers was saying, this is what it does in the heart of a believer, is makes them a specialist in a particular truth. So let me stop with my thoughts for a minute and ask Sam and John to just kind of react initially to this.
I would say that, so the first thing that jumps out at me, I love the quote, Gary. I really love the quote. I like the idea of being invited by God to be a specialist. you know, some special area of his truth that he wants us to really know. And to me, you know, just the specialist itself, you know, authority, expert, maven, there's all these different words that are synonyms, but I do feel like, yes, I know Oswald Chambers is not scripture, but I think he's very biblically based. And, you know, he had, if you look at the broader quotes around it, he's got a lot of scripture that really support this. And the idea is God does give us a vision. He does invite us to become a specialist, an expert in some kind of area. And, you know, that's just, I don't know. To me, I find it very encouraging. I find it uplifting. I find it inviting to say, God can call me up and to make me something who has real expertise in this area of his truth, of who he is. And I just find that inviting, encouraging, and wonderful. So that's my first reaction. It's spiritually uplifting to say God is inviting me to be a specialist and it's part of his truth.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, for me, it also has the effect, it gives me permission to focus in an area that my heart beats passionately for, and it gives me permission not to focus on other things. For example, when I think of Paul and his calling, his passion was to preach the gospel, but Barnabas wasn't that way. He had a different passion, and he wanted to take men under his wings and disciple them and shepherd them. And they had two different passions. Now, Scripture teaches clearly that all of us are to be involved in evangelism, discipleship, shepherding, all these things. But each man had his own unique area that flowed from his heart more passionately and stronger than any other area. And to me, that gives me a sense of freedom that I don't feel like I have to go knocking on doors every day doing evangelism, because that just simply isn't the passion of my life. But when I have an opportunity to come alongside somebody else and encourage, exhort, shepherd, you know, that's where I love to spend my time.
Yeah.
Well, John, playing off of that too, one of the things that I like about this is if Chambers is right, I think he's right. I think he's got a real grasp on something. It requires community. Because what it says is your specialty is not going to be mine, but I need your specialty, but that's yours. I need Gary's specialty. I need it in my life to be complete, but God doesn't give me everything on my own. He wants me to require other specialists. And so if we take it not only for ourselves, but if I say this is also true for Gary, and if I say this is true for, Jim McFarland on the line, or Dan Ainsworth, or Bob Allums, if I say this is true for them, it means I need their specialty. I cannot live my full life without their bringing to me their specialty. So it really builds community.
It does, and that's exactly what Ephesians talks about when it describes the church. Everybody brings their gift.
Well, you know what's so fascinating and fun about this too, is that as I think about people that I know fairly well, I start remembering, you know, they always go a certain place. I can anticipate where they're going to go in a conversation. You know, I can kind of tell you the verses they know, you know, because they'll recite it. Maybe not word for word, but in principle, because it's in them. Like, and I'll give you a for instance. So, John and Sam, you know this. I mean, We've had, you know, Bob Allums. He's done a session with
us. I was going to use Bob, too.
right. And no matter what the primary topic is, you know he's going to go to prayer on this one. You know he's going to be talking about, you know, praying and the Father heart of God and listening. It's just where he's going to go. He can't help it. And it's phenomenal. You know, it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like rebellion, no matter what you tell me, here's what I'm going to talk about. It's where his heart goes. It's what he sees. It's what he knows. You know, it's him. And I love it. And so it's so fun to watch people. I mean, with this in mind, to listen to people you know, what they always seem to come back to, or what they see as a solution in almost any situation, you know, or the problem is the absence of a certain thing in almost every situation. It's just fun to start watching for this.
Well, and the thing that I like about it is, so Bob Allam is saying, what, huh? But if Bob, you know, if we put Bob on the phone right now and we're talking about specialist, I don't know how Bob would bring in prayer, but he would talk about the topic of specialist. So he'd stick to our topic, but he'd bring a window in that I would never bring in. You know, the window might be, you know, one of the ways we grow in being a specialist, we pray to God, we talk with God about this. I don't know what he would say, but it's not like he gets off track. It's just that he brings a window into this topic that I would never do, and I need that window. And I need the window for Dan Ainsworth and for Michael Kimball. I mean, we need each other's windows in this way.
Right. Right. And you know, so since we're all picking on Bob and he's not on the phone, so he can't defend himself, it's perfect. You know what's fascinating is to me is that, you know, he's been doing a praying life, these seminars around the country, around the world for years. You know, he helped author the book, helped the author. And you can tell he never grows tired of it. He's constantly fascinated, it appears, about this subject. Why do people have a hard time with prayer? Why do they hesitate? You know, what does prayer do for them? What does God expect? I mean, you can tell he is soaked and soaked and soaked in this. And I think we should all have that thing that we can read about, investigate, listen to, probe, you know, go deeper in. And we will become a specialist if we'll do that.
So if you don't mind, let's move a little bit to how do we become that specialist? Because you just did that. You know, the quote that you put was soak continually in one great truth. That's the way you started it. But the book actually says soak and soak and soak. You know, I mean, like Chambers is pushing this. But what do you think he means by soaking in one great truth? You know, Bob's, you know, let's say Bob's is prayer. What does it mean to soak in the truth? He's praying, but he's reading books on it. He's thinking about it when he's, you know, driving his car. How do we become the specialist? You know, God may have a vision for us. God may have a call for us, but, we, you know, we don't have to necessarily follow it. Just a sec. In fact, I'm going to give you this quote. I'm going to give you a quote. This is the paragraph before the one that you just read. And what Chambers says is he says, just like I'm posting on both sites, he says, it is one of the saddest things to see men and women. It was one of the saddest things to see men and women who have had a vision of truth but fail to apprehend them. And it is in this it is on this line that judgment comes. I mean, Chambers is pretty strong, but he's saying, look at God may give you a vision, but you're not an instant specialist. You're not an instant expert. So he's calling us to do something to become that specialist. And what are those things we do, I guess, is my question.
Well, you know, to me, you know, I would use words like, you know, study, observe, read, converse, you know, debate, reflect, dig. I just think that's all of becoming an expert on it. It's trying to understand more and more, you know, when God gives you a truth, you know, you want to look at every angle at this truth. And one thing, going back to community, that I really enjoy, for instance, with you guys is I can have a perspective on calling, or, you know, we've used other words like artistry, you know, position in the kingdom, that type of thing. And I can come to a certain conclusion, but you guys and others will, you know, I love that they may challenge me on that, you know, even biblically, and go back and say, is that kind of the whole counsel on that? Do you think that's true in every circumstance? And And I appreciate that. I am inspired by it because I want to become more of a specialist in it. I don't want to just find one truth and stay in a shallow area in that and just hold on to that and become dogmatic. I really want to understand this at every angle I can. So, gosh, I think that soaking involves, well, it's like what we talk about in the calling retreat. It becomes a strength of desire, and it becomes a consistent desire. You know, you look at it over time, and it hasn't left. That'd be my answer.
I think of Sam when I think of what you just said, because he's very good about that. And as far as when you say something, he'll speak up and challenge you, which he's done for me a lot of times. And
sorry, Gary.
And
mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
But it's just so good because it's made me rethink so many things that I thought was a deep conviction. And and I think, well, you know, if he had challenged me on my political beliefs, I wouldn't get that excited about it, because that's not the kind of thing that's not where my specialty is. And so
mm-hmm.
when you get that challenge from somebody, kind of pay attention to how your heart responds. Is it something that really just you don't really care? You don't want to spend a lot of time there. But if it's something that, and really sometimes if somebody, and Sam hasn't done this for me, but I've been challenged by people that it just really made me mad, because I felt like they were threatening me. And that's when I think, okay, no, my response of anger because they're threatening me goes deeper than that, and it's because they're really going after something that's deeply written on my heart, and that's why I care so much, and that's why I am getting so mad. So I need to stick with this and just kind of wrestle through this issue and just see what has got up to in this challenge he's presented to me.
Yeah. So, Sam, how would you answer that? What does that mean to soak and soak continually in the one truth God has given you a vision of?
Well, I do think, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's to reflect or to meditate on. Bob Allen's put in meditate. I do think meditate is a, I can't remember if I read this or I wrote this in my own book, so I can't remember, but I think if it's like a furious thinking, it's thinking about something, it's turning it over, it's examining it from every side. You know, in the quote that you gave, Chambers says, take it to bed with you, sleep with it, rise up in the morning with it, continually bring your imagination into captivity to it. And I like the idea of bringing your imagination. So, you know, I think one of the things that is capturing me is the idea of this cultural creep of how the ideas of the world are creeping into the church unbeknownst to us. And it's not because they're saying there's no God. It's just that they're saying that we're getting more and more solutions that really don't need God. We're getting psychological or therapy solutions, even from Christian counselors, that have nothing to do with God. Or, you know, the 7 steps to a better marriage that usually have nothing to do with God, except maybe the 7th step is and ask God to help you. You know, but mm-hmm. I'm sort of seeing this cultural creep, and I'm just seeing it everywhere. But part of it's just my imagination. I'm trying to awaken, I don't know, maybe not imagination, awaken alertness to just look, seeing it at every opportunity. And I think as I do that, I start seeing examples. I start seeing, as John was saying, counterexamples where I might be wrong, so I need to be sharpened on this topic because I was going down an alley. But there's a way we could just explore the idea the way we might explore a national park, walking down every single trail and every single path and peeking behind bushes just to understand it more till we really know it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a type of thinking, but also discussing it with other people, getting their opinions mm-hmm. and letting them disagree with you.
Right. I think, again, a good indicator of, you know, what is a truth that God has given us that I'm supposed to become a specialist in is, you know, what are the passages that I remember? And I didn't have to work to remember it. You know, I may or may not be able to it word for word in a certain, you know, translation of the Bible, but at least it's always with me. I can pull from that because it's resonant in my heart, because it really means something. And then as we're saying, you know, I just remember years ago a friend said, she said, you know, God has given me one note to sing, and I'm going to sing that note really well, really loud, and really purely. And I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to find that note and stick with that note and just sing it really well, attune my voice to it. And so I just think it's really important we do this. And it goes back to, you know, other language, like the particular way that we see people, situations, God, a particular way that we understand, you know, things, or a particular way that we hear. I just think this idea of being a specialist is so important. And again, I think, this is just my preliminary thinking on this, I think as we get to the latter years of our life, you know, we're referring to as a fourth quarter, it's often referred to as maybe the sage years. I think these are years when we need to understand our specialty and let God direct us to where that specialty is needed, regardless of if it's for a long time or short time, whether regardless of it, if it's a full-time recognized position or it's just a volunteer or just based out of friendship. Whatever it is, the sense of God saying, I need you over here now, and now I need you over here. And I need you to bring this, but you may not be recognized for this right now. That doesn't matter. The effect is needed. It will be seen at some point. You know, whatever that is, I just think that's critically important for the latter part of our life as a believer and a kingdom person.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about your question, how do we cultivate this or how do we soak in it? Sometimes it's not so much how we do that as much as us just simply responding to what God is up to and looking at, well, what are the valleys he has taken us through in our life? What do those feel like? What do those smell like? What's the aroma there? What's the theme? Because, you know, if the three of us were to compare the deepest, darkest seasons of our life, they would be all three of us would have different descriptions. They would be different themes. And I think they would probably all be tied directly to what's most deeply written on our heart, because God has to take us through that to really make it, imprint it on our heart or to brand it on our heart rather than just, you know, you read it in a book.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, John. I think what we discover in life is that most true knowledge that becomes personal knowledge, that becomes wisdom, usually has to come through trial, pain, suffering, you know, some sort of oppression, something, right, that we actually have to wrestle with it and then start to own it. The other thing I wonder is this, you know, we've talked about this quote before, but C.S. Lewis said something like, what I love best about reality is that it is such an honest thing. And it's the idea that, you know, I've heard people say, oh, I'm really passionate about this area of the body of Christ, of Christianity, of the church, of ministry, whatever it is. And yet, when I ask them questions, I don't find any history of reading, studying, probing, being mentored or coached in, being taught in. And that really makes me have to wonder, really? Is that really is a particular truth that God has given you that he wants you to go deeper on and bring to the body? Then why is it you don't read about this and study this and converse about this? You know, so I
can practice it.
Exactly. Yep.
So I have a quote for you. So this is the very sentence before the quote you gave us. So the last thing I put in there was two sentences before the quote you gave us. This is the sentence before you quote gave us. And he's saying it's not a question of intellectual discernment. He says it's not just head knowledge or of knowing how to present the vision. So it's not just head knowledge. It's not just being able to, you know, do a PowerPoint. But he says of seeking to apprehend the vision so that it may apprehend us.
Mm.
And that's the thing that I thought was great. It's what you're talking about here, Gary, is there's a certain way where we're studying it so much, we're imagining it, we're meditating on it, we're, you know, going through everything, and all of a sudden we haven't captured it as much as it has now captured us. It has taken us into its custody, you know. We're captured. We're arrested by it. And I do think there's something about God's truth where we start by studying it and knowing it in order to apprehend it. But at a certain point, it flips, and now it owns us in a good way. You know, God owns us. This truth owns us. And we're captured in the best way possible. We're captured. That's what I think is sort of what's going to happen when we become a specialist, is we've studied it and ruminated on it and meditated on it and practiced it and discussed it and tried it 10,000 times. And all of a sudden, we're owned by it. In the best possible way. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, there's some way that we can be apprehended or captured by this idea that God has given us.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, what goes with that, I think, and John made me think about this with an earlier comment, but as it, that truth that we are absorbed in, it's apprehended us, as we become a specialist, I think if it's God and it's true, I think there is a degree of humility that comes in, because we realize, okay, it's not my truth. It's God's truth, and I care deeply about this, and I want it to stay right and pure. I don't want it to get contaminated. I don't want to get off truth. I don't want to make it something self-centered. It needs to be right. And there's a humility, I think, that comes as we're apprehended by a truth and we become a truth specialist in that. It's a gift that we, whatever it is that we want to offer to others in humility and kindness and joy and love. And we don't have to force it on somebody. We're offering it, you know, like a great meal. It's not forcing them to eat it. It's just simply saying, you will love this. This is beyond your imagination. But I'm not going to force you to eat it, to accept it, you know, to partake of it. So there's a character that comes with this as well, I think.
You know, Gary, I completely agree. I think that as we start to apprehend the truth, we feel pretty good about ourselves. Look at me, studying this truth, growing in wisdom and knowledge and stature. And as we actually grow in it, and as we actually see God and we see his truth, we're just humbled by it. It's like you know, watching a great sunrise or sunset. You can't be proud. You can't be arrogant. You can just look at it and be filled with wonder at the beauty, and you just can't be proud. You can only be humble in front of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think one of the beautiful things about it is it will bring humility.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, to give an example outside of us, is there would be Bob Allums, you know. If I heard the guy
going up next. We love you, Bob. We so love you.
I know. If I heard the guy going up next, Bob Allums, is going to speak on prayer, I would be trying to figure out, how do I get out of the room without offending the speaker? And because I'd be thinking, I'm gonna be so guilt-ridden by the time this is over, you know, that I'm living a selfish life, I'm not praying enough, that's why God's not moving, God, you know. But Bob, when he speaks on prayer, there's two things I want to do. I want to go up and give him a hug. And then I want to go pray, you know. and there's just this humility, this gentleness, and this invitation that he emits as he speaks on his specialty, no matter what his topic is, in prayer. Yeah.
And so, the enthusiasm, the invitation is filled with enthusiasm.
Yes, and deep belief. Yeah. So. Well, guys, hey, we are at the 30-minute mark, and we tried to stick to 20, but it's never worked. This has been fun. So I would want to encourage all of us listening, and I'm in this process anyway, of just pursuing God in the next weeks to come asking him, what is this, what specialist, what kind of specialist is he making you? Has he been making you? What is this particular truth, this vision that God has given you a vision of, that has captured you? And he just wants you to go deep in it. And it may be, and when you discover that, I discover that, it may be just a season of going deeper in it. It may not be offering it yet. It just may be going deeper. Or it may be, it's deep enough, now start offering. And then go deeper in the offering. So I just want to encourage each of us to look at that. And then get to the point where perhaps we can get on and on the chat line or whatever and just start naming it. What will we name that? And again, you know, what we've been doing is giving kind of different views into the same topic, and that is who we really are. So we've just talked about this idea of what kind of specialist is God making you into. You know, Sam has talked about becoming an artist. What's your artistry? We're really talking about the same thing here. Or even the topic of prophet, priest, or king. What are we more of? What's more dominant in our life? And it's another way to look at, I think, you know, what is this effect? What is this life that God has particularly given us that is a gift to the body of Christ and to the world? So, you, John and Sam, any final thoughts besides that?
So, the thought I'd have is, every year, near the end of December, we start raising the topic of taking some time to think about a transcendent pursuit for the following year. And we've been doing this, Gary, I want to say 6 years running now, 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, every single year, it's been significant for me. In fact, Gary was just talking about living life as an artist. I took a whole year just to study what is it like to live life as an artist. I've had some very significant soaking times for a year where I took the month of December or part of the month of December to say, okay, next year I want to pursue this. I'm going to pursue it in my prayer times, in my scripture times, in my book reading times, in my discussions. And every single year it has not failed me. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a campfire conversation later on this month about having a transcendent pursuit. I suggest we start thinking about that in conjunction with the idea of what is God, what kind of specialty is God, what truth is God calling me to soak in?
Yep.
So that's
good.
My two bits, Gary.
Yeah.
And maybe
good.
To put a little practicality to that, I was just thinking I'm gonna start a thread in Basecamp, and you guys can look for it. I'm gonna try to get it up tonight, and we'll just have a place where you can actually post it in Basecamp. A description of what your specialty is, what your artistry is.
Good.
We'll just see how everybody responds.
Yep, that's great. That'd be great. So, all right, this has been a good discussion. This has been really good, stimulating for me, and I'd like us to, you know, as we've talked about, keep moving in this, because I think this is a really key thing right here. So everyone, thanks for joining us. John and Sam, thanks for doing this. This has been fun. And we may see you next week then. And we'll see. I'm actually coming back on Monday sometime from this. I'll be going to North Carolina to do the Heart of a Warrior Advance with Michael Thompson and his team. So I need to kind of see how I'm doing after getting back on Monday for a Tuesday night call. But we will let you know on that. So, or it could be just John and Sam. So.
Oh, boy, that would be fun.
Yeah.
We'll really go to town.
Yeah, you'd really get somewhere. So, all right, you guys. Good night, everybody. See you later. Bye.
Good night, all.
Night.